Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. We are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA. This is the 162nd episode. The telephone number to listen is 323-870-4174. And please press 1 pound to talk to the host. Again, the telephone number is 323-870-4174. And again, please press the number 1 pound to talk to the host. To listen on the internet, please type in www.blogtalkradio.com. That is www.blogtalkradio.com, and type in Peripheral Visions by Antonia Bass. For those who need the spelling, PERIPHERAL space Visions, VISIONS by BY Antonia ANTONIA BATS BATTS. Select either live shows or title at the icon bar. And you can listen to, review the previous shows at that location also. Tonight's show is titled, Devalued Human Life. Yes, the word is devalued. Even every day, that there are many challenges for the safety and the lack of basic supplies for people, there is more than enough out there to help worthy people in their quest to survive. Are their funds and supplies being properly distributed? Also, calling all pet lovers, do you know there are still efforts to replace a living flesh domesticated household pet with a robotic prototype of your cat or dog? Rumor has it that the biggest selling pet or toy is a female pet robotic dog. Are there advantages to having one, even though it only mimics a living creature? And holiday happiness is for everyone. There is no limit to spreading love, joy, and sharing, which brings us together, not only just once a year, but twice. And for some, the attitude lasts throughout the year. Again, good evening, everyone. Have you ever wondered, with as many catastrophes that happen globally and that the aid that has been sent to the people of those regions, why, I'm sure it makes you wonder, it doesn't seem to resolve the human suffering? By the way, yes, I am very happy to be back. It has been a while, but it wasn't done in vain. As long as I was able to maintain things just so I could make it back to you safely and hopefully share this information. It's definitely a pleasure and a blessing. So anyway, for decades, there have been hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunamis, tornadoes, and more. They had left many people without food, water, shelter, medical supplies, basic toiletries, etc. There have been charitable donations, fundraisers, live concerts, grants, plus other creative ways to help the people of that region or those regions to get back on their feet. Unfortunately, there have been television programs that show a few people, mostly from those countries, that who were placed in charge of receiving the items, seizing the materials that had been sent to the entire citizens' community that were designated. And you rarely hear of how the people who are expected to utilize the money that they are supposed to have been sent to them, these monies for the population to survive, didn't exactly make sure each citizen received them. Not even in a lot of cases, it had been noted on television that they have received the information and the money and the materials to the majority of the population. It should show that there are registered accounts for how the funds that are spent in order to have the communities survive, at least through their political structure there, which are available to give an account for the receipts from the utilized supplies, equipment, materials, food, and more. And who actually is designated once it's sent there to purchase and distribute the necessary supplies? That can give you a running tab of what is really going on. You hear of so many hundreds and thousands of people perishing from lack of supplemented resources. But when you hear of millions and sometimes multi-millions of dollars raised to aid in necessary survival for human sufferers, you wonder why no one seems to make the country's representative that it's being sent to be held accountable. Well, according to the Global Humanitarian Assistance Report of 2018 under the company Developmental Initiatives, their report it is on June 19, 2018, they say a small number of donors' governments continue to contribute the majority of international humanitarian assistance. The three largest donors accounted for 59% of all government contributions. A growing majority of this went to international NGOs, the letters NGOs, who received 94% of all the funding to NGOs in 2017, and that went up from 85%, in other words, to the 94% in 2016. And in response to foreign aid, according to Britannica.com, who is aid given to developing countries? That's the biggest question regarding this whole matter. Who is aid given to when it comes to developing countries? Countries also provide and in order to relieve suffering caused by natural or man-made disasters such as famine, disease, and war to promote economical development and to help establish or strengthen political institutions for the people, that is, everyone out there, and to address a variety of transitional problems, including disease, terrorism, and other crimes, etc. Also, according to GlobalCitizen.org, that is GlobalCitizen.org, they say these five countries gave the most humanitarian aid in 2017. They're about to tell you. They state international humanitarian assistance reached a new high last year, with the top five country donors contributing from $767 million to just over $6.6 billion each year. Well, first in line is the United States. Next, there's Germany. It looked like it says through the country, I'll say through the organization called Christian Wiegler. Also through, number three, the United Kingdom, posted by someone named Jamie Street. Then there's Japan. There's Annabelle who distributes, or at least reports on it. And number five, there's Sweden, who reported through Rafael Andreas. So regarding developmental aid, according to Wikipedia, they say regarding developing countries, aid is most beneficial to low-income countries because such countries use aid received to provide education and health care for citizens, which eventually improves economic growth in the long run. Now, to pause for a moment, everyone out there, when they say in the Bible that when Jesus gave the people the loaves of bread and the fish, if I'm not mistaken, if I stand corrected, I welcome anyone who is online to make a comment. They didn't just give them the fish. They taught them how to fish. I'm not the most avid person about knowing where to find that, but I thought that was very knowledgeable. So teaching these people, educating them, and providing the health to do it with, and I'm sure food and whatever it takes to thrive, that is one of the most touching things, because if you don't teach the people how to fish or how to live, you know, then, of course, this is what they're subjected to, on how to find out at their own expense on how to be able to thrive. So, considering that even though the United States have been a pretty huge contributor to the other countries, it has been said regarding the poor that through the Center of Global Development releases a ranking of 27 of the world's wealthiest countries. And as their dedication to policies that help alleviate the poverty, which is like as in Finland and Denmark and Sweden. They are pretty much the top three. And America has been named as the world's most generous nation in the world, where it is where its citizens give the most to charity, according to a new report. So they say that the United States, New Zealand, and Canada, the percentage gross domestic product, the GDP, through the organization Charities Aid Foundation, which was founded in February 2nd, 2016, says independent.com.uk, and that particular website, that there's a question that was posed. So the question is, do we need watchdog groups to properly allocate supplies and the funding for the poor and or the needy, or will it continue to be business as usual? So everyone, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what they're really trying to say. Do they have a good idea on trying to pose that question to make sure everyone out there who's really a benefactor of whatever is supposed to be issued to them, does it mean that we have to have a running account and a person who will report back to the people, especially who donate, what is really going on with the resources that are sent? And it's a shame that you have to have it, but this is not exactly the most honest world. It doesn't mean we are suspicious of everyone, but we have to keep in mind that this is why many of us realize that not only other countries have been cheated, but here, where we're supposed to receive it in order to thrive, even in the United States, we understand how that works, unfortunately. So, would you believe that rumor has it that if these people continue to go in the direction they're going, all it will do probably would make some of the richer people who have benefited from it, that don't mean necessarily in the United States only or sometimes here, but also people who just pretty much rob these people blind of their ability to live. Now, even though there has been a hurricane in the past week, that has erupted, and 16 people have been discovered past, and there's still some who left or were left undetected. There, I'm quite sure, was a major funding group or several major funding groups that had pretty much sent something out to lend a hand in not only the recovery of the bodies, but hoping to get the people there back in their proper way of being able to live. I'm sure there have been many voluntary groups like the Red Cross, I'm quite sure, who definitely show where they definitely try to retrieve not only who they can, but for the, amongst the living, the ability for them to thrive. They definitely, along with other groups, and funding groups who know that they can assist these people in helping them to reestablish themselves as a result of this disaster. Well, thank God for, you know, those particular merciful people. New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken, pretty much they have to recover, I'm sure, from the nastiness of the lava and things of that nature, but it's to be expected. And with those many millions and billions of monies that have been reported through these agencies that have been mentioned in these publications I've told you about, they should have more than enough to assist these people. It doesn't mean that not only them, but other people of disasters and non-disaster related situations. There should be no reason why every human being, especially that are worthy of it, don't have the ability to sustain what they need in order to make it through and live like human beings. Well, there's been many reports about things being sent to countries that have experienced disasters, and there have been drops, as they call them, of supplies shown by, for example, helicopters, not only from the militia, but also from the various organizations. But it has been said in the past years, several years, over maybe more than a century probably, that they have not received, speaking of the people, a lot of the supplies and things they need in order to go on to the next level in life or continue to thrive or protect their children. There have been too many situations, I can't even give you an account for it, in this 1 hour that's allowed me to make sure that you receive from my lips to your ears the information that it takes. So with that being said, it's an unfortunate situation that we need these watchdog groups, but it is going to be difficult. Maybe you can appeal to the United Nations, who can, of course, be, let's just say, reached through their public domains of how they deal with country-to-country catastrophes and issues that occur. There's always somebody to write to. That's obviously the United Nations located in New York City. Maybe you can appeal to Washington here in Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States. I'm quite sure that they have many groups that will allow you to reach the ears of the Secretary of Labor or whoever else it needs to help to get to the right resources to at least satisfy your curiosity, especially if you're a donor. I don't care if you donate $5 or $500,000. You have the right to have an idea of how these things are allocated. So with that being considered, those are just a few places that you can possibly appeal to satisfy not only your curiosity, but at least make you wonder why there are people out there appearing to be presented as people who are not making it through life, and find out why they haven't received things like medicines and foods and clothing, things of that nature. Maybe it's a cartel in another country that has kept these people from allowing them not to live. There's rumor that, you know, the reason why a lot of people try to flee some of their, you know, unfortunate countries because nobody has used the money it had taken to help bring them to a place of rest and peace, even within their country. So if anybody turns their back on these particular people and say, well, at least it's not my country, we're living comfortably, you will be surprised how that affects the next human being. And when they have to seek solitude, they're just like anybody or anything. They have to go where they think that they can seek peace and safety. And why not help them at least try to resolve with their children and themselves or just them as citizens, wherever they're from, can be safe and not wake up with a gun in their face or anything else that goes on that's negative. So with that being said, this is the season that, you know, you may want to open your hearts and your minds to other questions that can be posed when you're sitting around at the table waiting for, or not even necessarily a dinner table, just your waiting room while you're waiting to receive your wonderful meal that God has granted you. and hoping that you'll be able to understand why he sent his only begotten son, to make sure that we can help each other and not just ourselves. So to continue, again, here's another posed question about would you believe. Would you believe that the rumor has it that Europe has the biggest demand for the purpose of the purchase of robotic female dogs? Well, me, myself, I question who would want a mechanical pet who does not have the internal flesh and organs of a loving, dedicated, living pet seriously? Well, being an animal lover myself, I don't see that happening to, let's just say, no more than a replacement for my pet, because I seriously consider that I cannot replace even my biological family, at least if I had a heart. Well, one person said to me that at least you do not have to clean up their poo-poo or their waste and feed them. I said, gosh, that is a dream come true, but certain foods, in all seriousness, according to a publication called joyforall.com/therapy, that is joyforall.com/therapy, dash pets, P-E-T-S. Well, they said realistic robot therapy, speaking of the pets, they definitely have cats and for sale, in other words, and golden retrievers, I'm assuming, robotics, dogs and cats, in other words, that, of course, soothe agitation, soothes anxiety, and they relate to dementia and Alzheimer's disease, which increase social engagement. So in other words, under everyone, this is the medicinal and the mental capacity state on how they say these robotic pets have actually became an asset. So I hate to play the role of what they used to call devil's advocate. We'll find a replacement for that, I hope, that word. But devil's, that is. But if they do, let's just say, appease the mental state of people who deal with mental illness or associated needs to, on a more minor level, a need to be able to receive gratification to soothe anything that agitates them, or they may say, a person may say they have anxieties, and you know, because petting something furry and what was presumed to be lovable in their life at one time probably take on that quality without having to take on the extra added stress of cleaning up behind them, feeding them, etc. Not only that, but it aids in loneliness. That is amazing, just to be able to pet a soft, furry little creature of some sort. So they said it responds to motion. It responds to touch of the human being. In other words, when they touch it, and the motion gives the simulated effect of a real animal to these individuals. It simulates motor skills. Well, mostly it is recommended for the very aged person. So people, we don't have an absolute age to relate to, but their biggest audience of who they'd like to sell to are probably, well, some people will say 80s and 90s, but I've seen some active 80s and 90s, so I can't stereotype, but it appears that that's what they probably are appealing to according to this particular publication. Now, I'll tell you right now, my mother is not falling for a motorized pet, so she's definitely not in this particular category. If anything, she needs to be petted to make sure that she's a good person. So, and according to another publication called Wired.com, regarding a little girl's desire for a companion pet, it says, robotics startups are rolling out more and more companion bots. Yes, everyone, they had a nerve to give it a name, a companion bots, short for robots, of course, designed for the sale of the purpose of friendship. So this is where the children come in, everyone. So to continue, it says, as these machines become increasingly part of domestic life, those relationships usher in ethical questions. Are those bonds healthy? Can they be exploited? Should an enclave robot be given to vulnerable populations? Well, before we go on, if you don't mind, the little girls, not only little girls, but, you know, they're just giving that as an example, as another population to consider. They love them as little companions. You know, there was a time, I can say, there were doll babies that, you know, brought on lifelike motion that really intrigued me as well as other children and then became more sophisticated as time goes on. You know, they learned how to cry, soak their diapers, coo. They learned how to make the motions of an infant or a walking doll, things of that nature. And it appealed to the extrasensory perception of a little girl, mostly their mind on receiving maybe something close to being a living human being. So with that being said, those particular two groups, as they call the, you know, very aged, well, maybe about 100 these days, because some of them are very astute. I've met my fair share of people in their 90s that held a very great conversation, a coherent one, and they don't necessarily feel a need to be able to have their loneliness appeased because they have other things in mind, like family. But anyway, back to the children, I have to admit, the doll babies have pretty much been a supplement in one sense or the other as well. So, considering the question was posed, should an emotive robot be given to a vulnerable population? In other words, everyone, a population that can be appealed to for their needs of, like they said, companionship. Oh, companion bots. It's amazing. And it's referred to as an emotive robot, E-M-O-T-I-V-E. So back to the issue at hand, there's another question. And how will we feel when our new friends, who we've grown to love, break down and die? This is a question posed by that particular publication last mentioned. So if the friends we have, the living human beings like ourselves, break down and die, who replaces their friendship? So they said when they die, of course, they refer to this new friendship as the robot pet revolution and says cute seems to actually want us to basically accept them are replaced by this fuzzy little pet because that fuzzy little pet has a marketable appeal. You know, everyone, I don't want to disenchant anybody, but they may have something there, but we may want to always caution ourselves on the air of being human, as the saying goes, on the air of being human. That's right, everybody, because there was a movie, I'm sorry to have to compare it to a movie, called I, Robot, that starred Will Smith and other cast members, became very popular in the past decade. He had himself just a total suspicion of robots in general, maybe because he saw where robots were actually the replacement for human touch, feel, relations, and things of that nature. And the population as a population went about its daily work and chores and whatever else they do. Of all ages, people, you know, they actually relied on the companionship of those robots. And the clinch of the story was, well, the robot eventually had been found to have a defect by, I'm sure, the programmer, who they give the impression that did not have ill intentions. And maybe the CPU, central processing unit of the robot, which was shown in, like, a pillar of nanonites, had basically went awry and had its own idea on how to sway the programming once the gentleman was killed by even the robots that he created. It was Will Smith's idea to make sure that he fought the issue. It became a lot of physical stress. A lot of stress from the police department that he worked with, who dealt with this futuristic situation. And we don't have to be suspicious of these robotic pets, but it makes you wonder, what transitional things do people who are innovative builders and scientists plan to do about making sure that humankind was not only the benefactor of all of this robotic stuff, but will the human being that's flesh and blood, who all this stuff was supposed to be created for, will they be respected in the long run once all of this seems to come to a head? Would it actually be to their advantage to grasp these things and feel as though that they make a good replacement for a human being? You know, there was a program that came on CBS Sunday this morning, that it made you wonder about these robotic mechanisms that were going to deliver food on this campus of a college, which was called, I believe, Berkeley. It had great appeal, and with the robotic square-shaped items that were on wheels would roll from location to location, it allowed people to reach in, grab their parcel, I'm sure pay, mostly by plastic, as they call it, or credit cards or whatever they paid, and let it roll to the next destination. Well, in the real world, we know that there are masses of people who are not going to let that whole thing go over honestly with the honest, you know, customer to basically just reach in the container and take it out. And so it may be a prototype of what they like to believe is yet to come. It was a great revolutionary idea, but asking a couple of interviewees, one being a fairly mature woman, she said, well, she came from the age that human beings were respectful or respected as human beings. She said she'd hate to see what it'll end up as. Like, in other words, she was giving me the impression, like, are we going to be slaves to this robotic revolution? Now, keep in mind, the robots are not created by the robots. There are human beings who program them and that can create the cycle of robots, maybe just adding to the production. So considering that, there are going to be quite a few questions posed about that based on not only what she said, but there was a guy who delivered milk the old-fashioned way in the crates inside of the, you know, containers they came in to different people's homes who preferred his method of delivery. And the guy in charge of the program, he said, well, do you think that this will work well in the real world? In other words, everyone. He said, because eventually, do you think that your job will be taken, as this guy, of course, goes about his merry way, going from door to door or house to house? Well, he said that he hoped it doesn't happen. He said, but by that time, all of that might occur, some of it, that he hoped to be retired. So, in other words, he feels comfortable with his situation. But think of the millions and trillions of people who are to eventually live, die, thrive, or whatever. We as human beings, what are we going to have for jobs? Don't give me the impression, and don't try to, you know, BS me out there, scientists, that you're working on a resolution on how everyone can get a job that wants a job. You know, there's not enough jobs that are considered suitable to go around as it is. So how are you going to disillusion me or anybody out there who has a sound mind on how you manage to maintain what's more important, robotics to make the world go around, or human beings, which are the reason why we create robots, in order to hopefully continue, we as a human civilized race can continue to thrive. So everyone, as you go around and get impressed by these mechanical innovations and technological innovations, keep in mind that we have a bigger picture, which is to maintain human life, just life in general, biologically, you know, wildlife, things that actually are responsible for the earth being as it is. So with that being said, I just say, truthfully, if you can handle having a bunch of wires and chips, you know, the chips that go into these mechanisms and robots or whatever, and different body parts covered with a soft, fuzzy rug as a supplement for the real thing, see what it can do to maintain your happiness for that versus the real thing. Because we don't want anything, mechanical or otherwise, going out there to making it an eventful thing for human beings to feel as though that this world was not made for them and other living creatures. It wasn't meant for the robots to probably replace us, but people do have to be realistic and address that particular issue as the world continues to evolve. So if you decide that you're going to make an idea of feeling as though that you embrace mechanical things, engineered things, over human flesh, keep in mind we are not out here celebrating the happiness of holidays with the thought of being wrapped up in material wealth so much until you don't understand the whole big picture and the whole real truth. Speaking of the holiday, well, I'm going to address holiday happiness is for everyone, and I'm going to tell you why. But meanwhile, we are going to ask Brother Rob Hudson to come to give us the call of salvation and understanding why God sent His only Son in order to make sure that we exist as we do as a human race. Thank you very much, Brother Rob Hudson. May I receive you to give us the call of salvation, please?
Yes, no problem. I'm going to call Salvation and quickly do the announcements. This is the Prodigal Purpose Kingdom Network, and we thank each and every one of you for joining us tonight. And we just want to go ahead into the Call of Salvation. And the Call of Salvation is pretty simple, and it's pretty much an introduction for you to introduce yourself to God, for you to just open yourself up and to accept Him. And one of the ways you can do that is just honestly seek Him out and just say, God, I am a sinner. I wish to repent my sins, and I wish to change my ways forever. And, you know, once you say that, it's pretty much that simple. You know, you can say it in your own words. You can say it. The best way to describe yourself is yourself opening yourself up to the Lord and accepting His gift. And the gift was that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. You know, and once you've accepted that, and once He, you know, you will be accepted, and you truly will be transformed. You'll be a citizen, a kingdom citizen, and you're going to be welcome. And we thank you. And the first, you know, thing we invite you to do is just exercise the power of your tongue and just to tell someone, just to let them know about your transformation. And you can just text someone. You don't have to, you know, wait for, you know, for Sunday or a specific time. You can just know right then and there that this is the decision that you made and that you accepted Christ in your life. And that's the best way, you know, that's the best way to do it, because, you know, you may inspire another person to do the same. And, you know, the next step that, you know, I suggest you do is find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary to nurture the word of Christ. And if you can't find that, you know, that's why we broadcast here on Purpose Kingdom almost each and every night that we're able to broadcast. And if you want to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Net, where you can, our email address is purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. And there you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or just let us know that you have made a new transformation in life, and we thank you so much. Also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We're also on Facebook. We suggest you like us there on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming advertisements and our shows. And then we also have a link for our morning walk of prayer, which is on anchor.com, or you can go to Anchor FM. And please feel free to join us for a morning word of inspiration. Also, if you want to hear any of our past and previous podcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, where you can simply type in the show name and the host name, and you can listen to that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us at the 9 p.m. hour tomorrow evening for Let's Talk About It with our trio of Sister Adrian, Sister Janice, and Sister Talene. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Let's Talk About It. And that's going to be hosted by our trio of Sister Adrian, Sister Janice, and Sister Talene. Please feel free to invite a friend to listen to not only this broadcast, but tomorrow's broadcast. And also, don't forget, we'll be announcing our upcoming lineup for our end-of-the-year revival starting on December 25th at 9 p.m. And it's going to be ending on December 31st at the 11 p.m. hour, bringing us into the new year. Thank you so much. And with that being said, this is going to be the end of the announcements. And Sister Antonia, I'm going to turn the program back over into your hands.
Thank you, everyone. And thank you very much, Brother Rob Hudson. I do plan on being there tomorrow evening eventually. But as time goes on, I hope to be able to renew my ability to support Purpose Kingdom Network, PKN, virtually because of the reason that it gives us hope. It gives us a presence of God-fearing people who I'm quite sure do respect and support the living, thriving human being as well as other creatures worldwide. And if we play our hands right, we will hope that the scientists and whoever else will be held accountable for making sure they come up with a resolution on how that humankind and the beings in the human civilization can continue on and not be dispelled as a secondary source of the reason why the earth goes round. So with that being said, I wanted to also say regarding the holidays, well, I just wanted to mention holiday happiness is for everyone. There is no limit to spreading love, joy, and sharing what brings us together once or twice or hopefully throughout the year. We can be grateful for God, for the good people he sent to us, and the good name and the good nature of wanting to understand why we are still here and still doing well as a race of human beings that is. Now, to start with Thanksgiving Day, which was November the 28th, 2019, being the year, here in the United States as a holiday, which just recently passed. Many people used that particular day as an opportunity to come together with family, friends, the community a lot of times, also the pre-Black Friday monetary purchasing out there in the public, their venues, which is obviously a day that we spend money on reduced sales and all of the other things. I'm not included, but I don't feel bad. Question, what did anyone ever think of as when it received an opportunity to forgive and hopefully forget the foolishness of another person or person? Or did you ever think about letting them to forgive you and show you how to reduce any former petty behavior and learn more about love and appreciation from your heart, the sincerity from your heart that is, and don't necessarily engage in superficial selfishness? Some of us refer to superficial selfishness as, what do they call it, monetary indulgence or materialism. Sometimes, with us admitting we can be the bigger persons, it can make us the better persons. In other words, if we can show humankind how we can go past and see past things that are not primarily the best things to indulge in, can we show also how we can be a better person by letting people understand this does not make us, let's say, be selfish enough to just indulge in it continuously, not thinking of no one but ourselves. And if you continue that spirit and come together for the right reasons, it can create some lasting friendships while you break bread on that day. And from then on, hopefully that'll be a continuous rotation of things, everyone. That was the purpose of Thanksgiving. Sorry I missed that show, but it was worthwhile because at least it helped me to bring you up to date, which will hopefully lead into this season or this holiday, which involve different things. Christmas, for example, peace on earth, or however anyone celebrates the holiday that is going on during this month of latter December, December 25th, before and after. It brings a lot of joy, a lot of merriment. It brings a lot of laughter. But when it's over and done with, how many of us are willing to continue it, of course, with caution, as we deal with the realistic things that go on out here in the world, things that may not necessarily be safe, for example? Do we understand why there was a Christmas? For those of us who feel as though, well, I don't have to believe anything about religious intentions and things of that nature, well, there is truth, because God did give us a free will, according to the Bible, to do what's right, not to do what everybody else do. So considering that, will you be able to non-selfishly give of yourself and of your heart to those who appreciate you, for those who maybe don't understand you, but it's for you to make sure how you should be understood if your intentions are good. Can we go on through life by feeling as though that it's more important to think of ourselves and only our family only and things of that nature without considering that there's a big world out there and what we do also affects the next person and the next person? And during the course of all of this going on, do they realize it may not be just about ourselves or about our family only? Because if we were the only beautiful house on the block, eventually the others will disappear and it will be a lonely situation because we feel as though that it is only about us and our environment. That don't mean that you have to be a pansy for anybody else out there. But what you consider is, as the world goes around, so does the attitudes and the relentless efforts for other people to let it be seen that based hopefully on our efforts and our merit, we can definitely continue to thrive. I say on our merit because some people, they are just determined that only thriving off of everybody else's efforts is what their job is to do. But there are some people who believe in socialism, and some people say, well, I can understand why should they be able to go forward if they're not participating? Well, there are times you may not know the situation, and that's when you communicate. It doesn't mean that you have to be a pansy for someone else and, you know, let them just prey on whatever your efforts are. But it lets you understand that if we at least communicate, maybe there's something more to the reason why things are going on the way they're going on with those individuals, and let them understand why it's important to at least extend a helping hand in whatever way that they hopefully can feasibly do, extend a helping hand, whether if it's physical, mental, and or an opportunity for them to reach out verbally, communicate, in other words, or through human contact. So with all of this being said, we hope that you do have a wonderful holiday. If it's Kwanzaa or what is Rosh Hashanah or, you know, things of the reason why they call it Christmas, which is the birth of Christ. We know the stories of the three kings for those who read the Bible or heard about the Bible stories. Whether if it's for those particular intentions that are pretty popular around this time of the year, or just because this was a good time to say I can pretty much become more mellow in my attitude of why people are feeling cheerful and cheery. By the way, it wouldn't hurt to go if you're in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, to the display at Macy's called the Christmas Carol Village. It is narrated by Charles Dickens, speaking of robotics, a robotic doll baby, which is obviously animated, to have people to come through. It's free as you go through the department store and witness all of the grandeur and the effort put into the department stores. Speaking of department stores, I had the opportunity to represent Neiman Marcus out of King of Prussia, and whoever had decorated the store, the visual merchandisers, had put such a delightful display of whatever they could to fascinate people, not just for the joy of shopping, but just to turn around and make sure that people know that they're appreciated as you enjoy the artistic things that have been placed in the store itself. I did it through an organization called Our Closet, and as a result, they were basically gracious enough through the store's lead directress to make sure that we were welcome, and it wasn't an issue about what you purchased, but how you appreciate the environment. But, yes, go to Macy's before December the 25th and go to the walkthrough village. It has beautiful renditions of different scenes through the famous Christmas Carol village that was narrated, like I said, by Charles Dickens. And the various stations that have real old scrolls for you and or the children to read and enjoy. And it would delight everyone and hopefully put you in a spirit for being able to appreciate that, maybe going back home, maybe going to church, whatever will appease your need to appreciate the next human being, or hopefully it'll ride into the next 365 days. With that being said, God bless you. Have a wonderful holiday, and hope to see you within another month on the third Sunday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and definitely engage in going to the various venues that will be offered for you all that was mentioned by Brother Rob Hudson here on PKN. Thank you. Good night.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.